Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we're just change it now, just you and me.
Wake up, wake up, wake up. Good evening once again. Monday Night Blog Talk, Omega Ministry Group. My name is Jesse Storr. I'll be sitting in this evening and be in the studio by my lonesome tonight as my queen is desperately attempting to get her throat back and wants you to be thinking good positive thoughts about her throat as she was on a weekend tournament tour. During the course of that weekend tournament tour, her voice began to crackle a little bit. And those of us who know her at these events know that it doesn't always show up the first day or the next day. Sometimes it could be the end of the first day into the second day. And so as this day is worn on, we notice that more raspy and raspy and raspy. But we praise God anyway. We thank God for your presence here tonight. We like to invite him in and let him be part of our conversation this evening. Father, we praise you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for an opportunity to come together once again to share the phenomenal reality of oneness. But tonight, Father, we want to chat a little bit about the power of consistency. That's what oneness is all about, where we learn and how to experience and how to do everything we can to ensure that oneness is a reality in our experience. Father, we thank you this evening for allowing all of those who have called in, Father, to be with us. We know there's a lot of things going on, but there's nothing ever more important than understanding how to become better, how to become more persistent, and how to become more effective in doing what we can do to experience the benefits, the beauty, and the majesty of oneness. So we thank you tonight for giving us an opportunity to be exposed to precepts and principles that allow us to see, to know, and hopefully understand what's required of us and what's required of our spouse. And when we come together in that regard, many times we can come to an understanding that all things will work together for good if we are committed to being consistent in our relationship with our spouses. So we thank you, Father. We give you glory tonight as we come together. For we know and understand that we must seek you, Father, and your kingdom. If we do this thing we call oneness, all of these other things that we may desire in life will be made available to us as well. We thank you for understanding that we must operate always in love, for you are love. And as we operate in love and learn how to practice more of the things that we desire to be and that we desire from others, including and especially our spouse, we'll get to the point, Father, where we know that we'll be able to realize all of the benefits associated with marriage. We know, Father, we live in a dispensation where today oftentimes there are so many, Father, that are opposed to the concept, think, feel, or believe that simply because someone that they know, that they have heard of, that they know about, that's caused them, Father, to turn against the possibility of being married, to turn against the benefits of marriage. So, Father, we just pray this evening that as we continuously go through the process that you have poured into our spirit, that we might be able to say something, Father, might be able to share something that will be a benefit to another individual. So we welcome all of our listeners tonight, all of those that are live, and all of those that may be listening via the archive. We know and understand that our God is a great God, able to do all things, including keep your marriage together. So, Father, we thank you this evening for allowing us to come before your throne. And I pray, Father, as well, that you might bless my queen, that her voice, Father, might be able to be toned up for the things she needs to accomplish the rest of this week and the rest of this month. We give you glory. We give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, welcome once again. We thank God for being here on this March 14, 2022. And we know that all over America, all of the basketball junkies are off into their March Madness and all excited about so much that's going on, and that's part of the reason why my queen is having issues speaking this evening is because of the March Madness. And so we might just take a moment and brag a little bit that the school where our daughter attends, our youngest daughter, they had an opportunity to make it to the D2 NCAA, first time for the school's history, and recorded their first victory in the school history. So we thank God for that and praise God that has been the reality, quite frankly, of all of Jaleel's activity in whatever sport, whatever team it is. They're going to be a better team because of her being there and the favor and the real 100% effort I think she always makes in that regard. Now, even though she was not playing this year due to a season-ending ACL injury this summer, she was able to go and be a part of the process and learn more about the process and be right there to experience that first ever trip for Georgia Southwestern. So we praise God for that. We also pray and believe in tonight for the model that exists there now, the president, Dr. Neil Weaver, and his wife. They're always involved heavily with all of the activities, and the new coach, Coach Justin Payne, and his wife and their two children, young coach as well, in his 30s, doing marvelous things, bringing great activity and fun. Even there, we see something that he and his wife does that's part of what we like to chat about tonight in this conversation on the power of consistency. You know what? We live in a world, my brothers and sisters, that's really governed by spaced repetition, conditioned with the flavor we call practice. Who amongst us have not been involved in the concept of practice? We cognitively practice most of the activities we love, combined with our desire to be the best we can be while executing those activities. Most of us never question the process or the need for practice. We just do it. Think about it for a moment. Of all the things we practice to become better at what we do, or at least the things we desire to become better at doing. And it begins, really, for all of us, way before we have the cognitive recognition. How many of you ever remember when you were a baby? I mean, you may remember some of the things when you were a baby, but truly you don't remember everything. So some of those things you may not even remember would be a mother or a father encouraging you to say mama, encouraging you to say daddy, or what about getting down on their fours, all fours, and crawling around with you. You probably don't remember all of it. Sometimes some people can remember certain significant events. But the bottom line is that we go through the process of practice to create an element of consistency. And again, we most of the time, we never really question that at all. It just happens. You know, prior to all of the things that take place, even when you're going through the process of a mother being pregnant, you know, there are things, a certain breathing technique they want you to practice. If we have children that go to school sometime in pre-K and 4 and 5 and sometimes K-3 or whatever, and even at that level, they can always come up with some kind of program where the child has got to go through a process of practice and rehearsal. I remember when we were going through the process of T-ball, where they put a ball on the top of the bat, and you just walk up and hit the ball. But you do that because you want to learn and put in place the process of hand-eye coordination, practicing. You may be 3-4 years old at the time, but you're practicing. The concept of going out and playing soccer, you're practicing. The concept of learning how to swim, you're practicing. Everything we do, it seems to have some element of practice. And that's a big, big key in the understanding of what we are sharing tonight. It takes practice to become consistent. And once you can become consistent, you'll be able to realize the power that's associated with consistency. I mean, it's almost nothing. I can remember almost any program that a child was involved in. There was some kind of show at the end, some kind of presentation, some kind of whatever that required our children to come together, that required them to come together with other children. And when they had to come together with other children, they had to what? They had to practice. They had to go through rehearsals. They had to be able to do those things that needed to be done so that they'd be able to demonstrate to their mothers, to their fathers, that, yes, I've been working, I've been doing this, and I've been doing that. And we can all remember the excited times when your children come in and they're speaking about what they're going to do and what part they're going to play, whatever, practicing. See, sometimes we become a little older and we fail to realize the very thing that allowed us to become who we are, we no longer maybe even execute enough. Why is it so difficult for us to see the need to apply the same principle in our marriages? I don't care if you played in the band. What did you have to do? Practice. If you was on the debate team, what did you have to do? Practice. I mean, whatever it is, I can't think really of many things that you want to do or where you want to develop a skill, where you want to become proficient, where you do not practice. But why is it so difficult? See, most humans are born based on the synergistic interplay facilitated when the eggs of the mother and the seed of the father meet and agree to procreate. From that union and based on the concept of oneness in Genesis 2:24, a man and a woman are gifted and blessed to reproduce any person who has been privileged to see the process of birth would undoubtedly agree it is a physical manifested miracle. A woman can go from the agony of the pain associated with childbirth to the unspeakable joy experienced when the child utters the first words to this world, and it may be in the form of a cry. But it's a beautiful process to see it take place from the time a woman is informed, and most of the time they know intuitively, but when it's validated, there will be a process that she will have to go through that's been occurring for thousands of years, and it proves and demonstrates the power of consistency and the need to practice. Back in the day, they had ladies that would provide the necessary services when women were pregnant and it was time for them to deliver. And I know back from where we from back in the South, many times you didn't have a situation where you had to worry about situations almost as much as you do today. It seems as though based on the physicality or the nature of physicality, that this is just my own sense. There seemed to be a greater confidence when it came time to carrying a child, being a pregnant, and going through all of the processes that's associated. There was a level of consistency because everybody knew and believed, well, most people knew and believed that having children was indeed a blessed reality. And so we come to this point in today where now we see that more and more than ever before, it seems like sometimes we begin to make something like having a baby, you know, much more complicated than anybody could ever imagine. Well, see, we want to believe that when God said you will have a blessing when you have this child, we want to go through some of the examples that we have in our marriages that give us an opportunity to practice. Because, again, if you want to be good at your craft, what do you hear if any of us follow anything to do with athletics? When they speak to the theoretical, the best at their business, the number one thing they always mention is that, hey, I put in the work. I put in the effort. I put in the time. Some of us that may have been going up the corporate ladder, going up a ladder at a business, going up whatever you may have been doing, you know that part of that success was because you put in the work. You put in the effort. You put in the time. And because you put in the work, because you wanted to be the best at whatever it was you were doing, then you became the best. But it wasn't because you just thought about it. No, you put in the work to become the best, to be viewed as the best. And that's the same thing that's required in marriage. That if we want to be the best husband, if we want to be the best wife, then we got to put in the work. We got to put in the time. We got to put in the effort. And if we're not willing to put in the time, we're not willing to put in the work, we're not willing to put in the effort, guess what? You're not going to magically have a oneness experience. You're going to have an experience where things are going to be distracted, things are going to be suboptimized, things will be dysfunctional. Don't get twisted now. Even in a marriage where you have made that decision that you want to practice, that you want to have more consistency, there is still a necessary growth and integration process. You're bringing together people. The same is true when you had to do something in a particular job. You had to have a particular class. You knew nothing about the subject matter. But after you put in the time, after you put in the work, after you put in the effort, you began to become more expert on that particular subject matter to the point where at some point in time you were deemed the subject matter expert. We all have these experiences. You know, I can remember growing up, and there was a lot of little a lot of little games that we used to play back in the day that we may not do today, but pitching pennants, pitching quarters, rolling dice, a lot of things that, again, we were not seeing it as doing anything harmful, just young boys playing games, doing things together. But guess what? The ones that were the most proficient, the ones that were the most skilled, the ones that seemed to win all the time were the very ones that put time in to make it happen. So what about you? Are you willing to put in the time necessary to make it happen? Are you willing to do those things? For, let me give you an example. The word has told us that today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So why don't you make every day a beautiful day? Why don't you make every day a birthday, every day anniversary, every day a memorial to whatever? Now, I'm not saying any of this is easy, because we got so many others that we deal with each and every day. Yet, as we begin to incorporate, as we begin to understand and see the need to develop a process that will allow us to make sure that we are doing things, that we are practicing things that will develop a level of consistency in our relationship that will bring joy and satisfaction to our spouse. Now, for example, what special days do you have? Is there a special day that you set aside the time you met? Do you remember the time you met? What about a wedding anniversary? Do you have a wedding anniversary? If you do, what do you do consistently? What is it that you practice? I know many times we see people that kind of laugh. They be together and say, oh, well, you say, well, when were you married? And they say, oh, and it seems like they forget. How can you forget something that should be just a natural memory? Or we all know some of the things that we think of right now that at some point in time we still may think about it. What about the announcement or the celebration of the birth of your children? Your children are born, and sometimes we have to figure out how to create something that would be unique and different for them that would allow them also to duplicate once they themselves may have children. Obviously, birthdays, you know, graduation. There are a host of mundane things that we do that we remember. But see, we have to turn those same kind of examples into holidays and excitement and getaway things for you and your spouse. We must begin to practice. How do I practice love and the execution of love spiritually? What do I do? What do I need to grow? How do I need to grow? Is it something that I need to do differently? You know, that's a real question. Because at the end of the day, all of us should want to grow spiritually, you know, with our spouses. All of us should want to know that we have some level, some form of common behavior, at least evaluation processes, whatever you want to call it, that you have a foundation that you can build on, that you can be consistent in. It may be praying together. How many of you actually pray together? And I can tell you, you have to make that a priority. As much as you may pray, as much as you pray without ceasing and all of that, you still need to make it a point to set aside time and say, okay, let's pray together. Let's do this. And so you can hear each other. And so when you hear each other, you may find out that it's something you need to add to your prayer that you haven't been adding to your prayer. You may hear a need from your spouse that you didn't know was a need. But again, if you can get to the point of really humbling yourself, so I'm going to humble myself, and I'm going to go and pray, and I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to lead me as well. And see, sometimes even when you don't pray every time with a spouse or all the time, God will reveal to you, hey, here's what you need to be praying for your spouse. Here's some things that are going on that you may not be aware of. And it comes through your spirit. You know, it's an impression upon your spirit. And then it begins to develop, and you have a cognitive understanding, and you and the words come out, the words that are necessary, the words that God has placed in you. And so that's a thing that we, all of us, have to become more confident in, is that when we pray for our spouse, that we have to be confident and know that whatever God gives us, whatever our spirit begins to identify that is a need for our spouse, that's what we need to pray, that's what we need to believe, and that's what we need to accept when we feel or sense there's a need for deliverance in a particular area. That's what we are supposed to do as we pray one for another. There are so many things that you practice doing anything, and sometimes this is to the husbands, but it could be to the wives as well. Do you practice doing some things around the home that would be beneficial to the home, to each other? And I know there are different ages and different skill sets and this and that that exist amongst all of us. But at the end of the day, we should be doing what we can to figure out, is there something, is there an activity, is there something that needs to be done that perhaps I could practice, that I could get better and be able to execute it more efficiently. I can tell you that during the course this last few months, I have learned so much about home, because prior to moving here, we never stayed in a home a long time. So we would move in a home and in 3, 4, 5 years be gone and moving here, moving there. But we've been here for a long time. And over the course that's been here for a long time, there are things that you do and things that you learn. And as you practice those things, you can become more consistent in the execution of the skill that's associated with whatever that may be. And that's another benefit, again, of looking at marriage in the standpoint of what is it you need to practice to be better at? Do you need to practice how to simply say good morning? Or do you need to practice how to say I love you? Do you need to practice how to say thank you? Do you need to practice how to ask more? Do you need to, whatever it is, it may be a good exercise to say, you know what, we're going to go through a situation and we're going to ask each other. I'm going to ask my spouse, and my spouse is going to ask me, what is it that they would like to see me do differently? What is it that if they had a vote, they would say, wow, I vote and wish you would consider doing this differently? And then when we have a conversation and we agree, okay, in order for me to be able to satisfy that desire that you have, then I need to develop this particular, you know, skill set based on this particular perspective. But in order to do that, I may need to understand something even more about you. So sometimes these kinds of discussions can lead you to places that involve healing. And it could be healing for you, and it could be healing for your spouse. And that's why we got to come to understand there's a power in consistency. We want to get to the point to where you are predictable in a good way, that you have sustainability in a good way, that you are reliable in a good way. And all of those adjectives, all of those verbs, all of those directives, they lead to oneness and to a power that so many people, unfortunately today, will never experience, because they have lost hope. They have given up, and they believe that the world, in its pursuit of just the satisfaction of the flesh, that it'll be very difficult for the world to change. Well, we disagree. We think and believe that as we mature, as we grow, as we develop to become all that God ordained for us to become, we can get to that point to where we can be mature, we know and understand, and we have a commitment and a desire, a commitment and a desire to be the very best we can be. And when we have a commitment and a desire to be the best we can be, especially in doing it in a manner that's going to bring benefit to our spouse. That's what we're going to do. We're going to take a short pause, and then we'll be right back for the rest of the show. We'll be right back. The keys to life, and we thank God that he has made available to us these keys, and these keys will allow all of us to experience what thus saith the Lord. And so when we think about what it is that we could begin to identify and practice, that's what we need to really begin to understand, because when we begin to understand the power of practice. That's what you just think about. Any mundane examples you can think of. You know, you had a class, you had a skill, you had a subject matter, whatever it may be, there was something that you just did not know. You got married. What do you know about marriage? See, so again, for the most important things we see in life and have in life, there is no class for us to take them. There are no, not growing up normally. I mean, yeah, there are books and all this. But how many of us, we pick up a book on, well, how do we date? We pick up a book on how do we have a first kiss? Or how do we hold hands? Or how do we speak to young ladies or young men? Or how do we speak? You know, there are so many things that, yes, we think by osmosis, we pick them up. And sometimes we as parents, we have the same kind of feeling. We think that by osmosis, that simply by just having them around, they will pick it up and they will have the understanding. And so much of it, that's true. They will. They'll pick it up. They'll begin to see the patterns. Let's say if you and your spouse, you had a small disagreement about something, nothing earth-shattering, but you had a disagreement about it, and so you had a discussion back and forth where you both said you didn't agree with the other. So the key thing there is not the fact that you both maybe didn't agree on that particular subject matter. The key is how do you handle things even though you may have a disagreement on that particular subject matter. Because that could be just an illusionary disagreement. It may not even be real. It may be just something that happened and something that you look at a certain way based on your experience and perhaps even how whatever the subject matter was presented. The bottom line is that how you then deal with each other after that disagreement is what your children see. Do they see you coming back and now you're right back in alignment? You had a subject matter disagreement, but right back in alignment because you're committed to oneness. You're committed to that you are more focused on experiencing oneness, that you don't take time to major on illusionary differences. And we've spoken about that in the past, where we sometimes allow that bad imagination. Remember Genesis 6 talked about that, where it said that the imagination of men and women were thrown evil continuously. Now think about that for a moment. So that means that when we practice doing good, it's not just for the person doing the practicing, it's also for the person receiving. That you also, a lot of times, you got to learn how to receive. You got to learn how when you're played a compliment, how to receive. You got to be able to not look and see that, okay, you saying this, but what is the real meaning instead of simply receiving it? Because, see, when we learn how to simply receive it, we will see many times that there's a blessing. There's a mutual beneficial relationship that takes place from the giver and the receiver. That's what marriage and that's what oneness is all about, learning how to become consistent in the practice and execution of those things that cause my family, that cause my wife and my husband, my spouse, to be in alignment to the will of God. Because we know also, what did we learn about the scripture that we spoke about even last week? We spoke about the transformation that takes place and where we ought to be the transformers, not the conformers to this world. And so the way we become transformers is by learning again the power of consistency, the power and knowing how we are going to respond to adversity, and knowing how we're going to respond when we are not in agreement. Do you know, do you realize, do you understand that you can convince yourself before a disagreement ever takes place that when disagreement takes place, because it will take place, I'm going to deal with it in this particular way. I'm going to respond in this particular way. And it's the contract that you make with yourself. We live in a world governed by contracts. But how often do we use the same precepts, the same principles, and develop contracts with me, myself, and I? Your own personal trinity, me, myself, and I. What kind of alignment to where sometimes, you know, you hear a voice coming at you, a voice with so much negativity that you really don't know what to do. And so since you don't really know what to do, you begin to just meditate on that negativity. You begin to meditate on it. Do you realize that's spaced repetition? Do you realize that's practice? Do you realize you're learning how to become consistent in creating and generating funk in your relationship? What do you do? The word says you got to cast it down. You got to cast down that vain imagination. You got to cast it down because it's trying to implant thoughts into your mind, into your consciousness, that will cause you to do things inconsistent with what you say you want your life, your world, your marriage to be about. And so we must learn that in the face of these realities, I got to look at myself. I got to look at myself and say, how am I handling adversity? How am I handling situations when we are not in agreement? What am I doing that would make me more effective in bringing a higher level of agreement with my spouse and I? We got to be willing to look a lot of times into the mirror and look and be critical of ourselves. See, we live in a world today where there are all kinds of measurements and all kinds of systems that are put in place that's supposed to help you identify everything wrong with your spouse. See, again, we need to reverse that. We already know that man's imagination is on the evil continuously. That's what it said in Genesis chapter 6. Go read it. And so if your mind is, if your imagination is on that, you're either going to be a conformer or a transformer. You're either going to say, I'm going to transform that which has been warped, that which has been made dysfunctional by the reality that exists for many of us right here in America today, and especially those that are descendants of American slaves. That if we are descendants of American slaves, unless you had a very significant deliverance evolutionary process as you were growing up, we all today suffer from some form of post-slavery disorder. We all do. And some have learned how to really minimize its impact where it has very little effect. Yet some are continuously bombarded with the evils that are associated with the demonic activity that was mentally, spiritually, and physically heaped upon a people. And so we got to keep that in mind as well, that oftentimes when we look at things that take place and when we look at the conflict, what are we exposing our children to? Because sometimes we have to be willing to say, I don't need to win, you know, this debate. I don't need to win, you know, this argument. I don't need to win this battle, because I know that the war is something far greater than this little disagreement I have at this time with my spouse. So I'm asking you today, as we prepare to wind down, I want you to work and say, you want to identify areas where you need more practice to improve your game as a spouse for life. What do you need to improve? And be realistic with yourself. Sometimes it's difficult for us to be realistic with ourselves because we are created in the image of God. And so we want to be right. See, there's some God, some godliness things, some God-like things that's in us that we have to learn how to manage. We have to learn that we are stewards of these gifts, of these skills, of these abilities, because God said, I gave you creative ability. And so since we know we have this, we can change. Yeah, you can change. Sometimes we think about, well, I got to get him to change, or I got to get her to change. What, have you ever thought about the concept of you changing, of you getting better, of you maturing? Are you finding another way to get things done? Have you ever given that consideration? See, if you give that consideration, you may find sometimes that it seems like your spouse changed. Because they'll be providing to you what the world, and really biblical things as well, called the law of reciprocity, that you are going to receive back. You're going to receive back from that relationship what you put in that relationship. And so if you put something in that relationship, then more times than not, you will get something back. Now, I know we live in a world today that's committed to jacking up that simple premise. But it doesn't matter. They can do everything it wants to do. If you hold on to these kinds of principles, you will definitely win, because God is a winner. And God is going to make sure that his children win. It's just the way it is. See, we live in a world where all around us, we got this fakery. We got this hypocrisy. We have this facade of what the world says is but is not. And we can read about that. We don't normally want to get into a whole lot of specific scripture. We want to really focus on relationships. But at times we have to go there to do it that way, because sometimes it just doesn't make sense. And that's why we present things the way we present it. I know many times my queen will share a lot of particular scripture that relates to the subject matter. And I like that style as well. For me, however, a lot of times I'm dealing with concepts and abstracts of the reality of the war that we are in. And I know and understand through just the anointing of the Spirit that until we become consistent, positively consistent in our relationships, then we will continue to struggle. So identify those activities, those things you can practice that will make you more effective. Then number two, identify areas that you can reduce invested time and effort in. Where are you investing your time and where are you putting effort in today that you could take that away and you can go and work on these areas that you have identified that would create more opportunity for consistency leading to oneness in your marriage or in your marriage to be? What is it? I hear sometimes people say that, hey, there are certain things that I do that I'm just not going to stop doing. And this is sometimes before the marriage, sometimes during the course of the marriage. And while events may be taking place, children may be being born. I mean, situations of life may be taking place, and one or the other continues to hold on to this premise that I'm going to still do everything I want to do. Well, you can if you're a great time manager, and you can if you can identify those areas that's not bringing value to you and especially not bringing value to your family and to your marriage that you can change. And a lot of times there are things that you love. I mentioned before on the broadcast that when I came here, the reason why we moved where we live so we could be close to a golf course because I love golf. Was playing 2, 3, 4 times a week. Well, guess what? Life happens. And when life happens and my wife began to have children and children began to want to do things, like I mentioned earlier, they wanted to practice this and practice that. They wanted to play this. They wanted to learn this. They wanted to learn that. Then all of a sudden you have a choice to make. Am I going to take the time that I'm investing doing this activity that I love and go and invest it in activities that they want to learn, that they want to practice so they can become more consistent and more proficient at a particular craft? And so I chose the latter, to go and invest that time with our children, to go and spend life in their world. And I knew that at some point in time, I'd be able to get back into that which I love. And I'm looking forward now to after being away from playing at that level of golf for the past 12 years or so, I'm looking back, looking very, very much with anticipation of getting back out there on the links. That's after I get this knee implant, this knee replacement all figured out as well. And praise God for that. Now 3 months within that process, and things are going well according to all of the surgeons. So what are you doing today that you would do different? That's something that you love. See, if it's nothing you don't care about anyway, no big deal. But if it's something that you know you love doing, if it's something that you know that you would miss, what is that you'd be willing to give up to make sure you could be more consistent and be able to do those things that would bring more joy and more happiness to your relationship? I challenge you to think about what that is and identify and add it to that list. And then share, this is one that sometimes people don't seem to really see the value. Share your targeted areas with your spouse or your spouse-to-be and assist where it makes sense and ask them to assist where it makes sense and share with them your desire to achieve oneness and have a more consistent focus in this thing called oneness. It's a process of humility. It's a process of saying, I want to be the best. And once again, We're in March Madness right now, and I hate to continue to use it as an illustration, but it's so perfect because so many of you, if you have a husband, a son, a uncle, nephew, and a lot of the women themselves, because women are doing great, this is a time of using those types of metaphors, March Madness, and the practice. And everybody, if you watch any of these games that's going to come up over these next few weeks, listen to what they say. You're going to hear player after player, whether it's male or female, they're all going to say the same thing. We thank God for being here. That's good. And we want to thank our coaches and fans, which is good. And but at the end of the day, they're going to say, and I thank God for giving me the ability to work because I worked hard. Our team worked hard. If you're looking at somebody that's going to be named the most valuable player, they're going to say they put in a lot of work and it's all about the work. If it's on the team base, they're going to say the same thing. Why? Because it's the truth. If you want to be recognized as the most valuable husband or the most valuable wife, what criteria are you using to make a determination if you are? See, think about that for a moment. If we gave awards that for the most valuable husband, the most valuable wife, you know, the whatever criteria that we would come up with, where we would then be able to rate it. See, some of us worked in places where you remember you had to go and you had to be evaluated by someone. And as you had to go and be evaluated by someone, oftentimes the person or the people that you were going to be evaluated by happened to be your customers. Maybe they were your suppliers. Maybe they were your coworkers, a lot of people. But you knew what the criteria was, and so you did everything you could. You practiced as best you could to make sure when anybody would be asked about you in those specific areas, you wanted to have a positive response. See, why is it so difficult for us to fail to see, to believe, to know, to understand that the same holds true in our marriage relationships, in our marriage-to-be relationships, that we must be committed to having a performance that would rise us to the top, that we would then be able to be viewed by others, really by the world again, the world that we're doing everything we can to transform. We'll learn a lot just by looking at you. So I guess the question tonight as we prepare to close, are you willing, are you able to do those things? Are you in search of that kind of relationship with your spouse that you're willing to say, hey, let's do a spouse performance review. You know, let's do a marital performance review. Let's identify some areas where we need to be more consistent. And again, I'm telling you, this is not easy. It's not easy. And so if you go through this process and you get to some points where, or some times where it just don't seem to be right or things don't be going to be quite right, then just table that. Just table that and come back and deal with it at another time. We just thank God tonight for having an opportunity to share with you. And I can tell you that there's power, so much power in consistency. And let me tell you this. I remember just the other day being able to hear some people share, and they had some real concerns. And part of their concerns was just being able to be in agreement about what was going to happen and what was going to take place, you know, in their home. And so they were just not in agreement. And it was somewhat of a surprise because they had been married for quite a long period of time. And this particular, disagreement or lack of awareness, it was really kind of shocking because it was something that, from our perspective, would be so basic. But that again shows all of us, regardless of how long we've been married, how long we've been talking about it, there's still so much growth that we all can make. So, Father, we pray tonight that as we give consideration to the power of consistency, that we can look at ourselves, be willing to humble ourselves and seek evaluation from our spouses so we can be better, so we can achieve and we can realize the blessings you said were available to us as we embrace the whole process of oneness. So we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. I pray that my queen and her voice, Father, will heal itself, that she'll be able to go and put her hand to the plow tomorrow because she needs her voice to conduct her job. We also pray for all of our listening audience, those that are live and those in the archives, whatever needs they may have, that, Father, you will meet them right where they are. We give you glory, we give you honor in Jesus' name. I want to remind you, brothers and sisters, if you would dial back in at 9 o'clock, you'll be blessed to hear the ministry gifts of our very own Minister Leah Killings. On Wednesday nights, we also have Minister William J. Vann Jr. and also Elder Jason Felix. On Thursday, the Minister George Flint and his lovely wife Maria. And on Sundays, we have Minister Amos Joseph Collins. Someone asked me the other day, if you have a desire to teach or would love to teach, then give me an email, shoot me an email to j.storr, S-T-O-R-R, at omegaministrygroup.com, and let's have a conversation, all right? And again, if you want to dial back in at 9 o'clock, hear the beautiful ministry gifts of our sister, Minister Leah Killings. God bless you. God keep you. Until next week, peace and love.
Agape love.